Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
Say a prayer for the lives we lost, but also I think say a prayer for the gratitude that all of us should have on a day like today. The gratitude of our city, of our country, of the world, and how fortunate we all are. Thank you. I'd like to ask you to join me all in a moment of silence.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh there. Just a few minutes ago, a solemn remembrance and a moment of silence at City Hall Plaza in Boston. 3 years ago today, at 2:49 p.m., the first of two bombs exploded at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. This morning, families of the three people killed in the bombing attack, Crystal Campbell, Martin Richard, and Lingzi Liu, put wreaths near the finish line on Boylston Street. They and others in the city are marking today with acts of service as part of One Boston Day. And joining us now from City Hall Plaza is WBUR's Alex Ashlock. And Alex, describe what's been happening there today. And good to have you, by the way.
Thank you, Anthony. Good to be on the show. There were a couple of hundred people here. The mayor spoke as you just played that soundbite from him. People stood silently during the moment of silence, obviously. There were people holding American flags, people wearing One Boston Day T-shirts, One Boston Day buttons on their clothing. The mayor also said today that we have tried to turn a day of sadness into a day of opportunity. You mentioned the acts of service that have been going on all across the city today. And that's the tradition, I think, that the city and I think everyone wants to see go forward in the next years as we get further and further away from April 15th of 2013.
Now look ahead to Monday with us, Alex, to Marathon Monday. How are survivors going to be marking the race this year?
Well, 31 survivors of the marathon bombings will be running or participating in Monday's marathon. I don't know what the number was the last couple of years, but that's an extraordinary number. Mm-hmm. Adrienne Hazlett Davis, the professional dancer who lost half her left leg in the bombing, she is running on her blade, as she calls it, in Monday's marathon. She's raising money for a charity that helps people who can't afford prosthetic limbs to purchase those limbs. Survivors today, including Adrienne Hazlett, participated in the wreath layings. There were also private events today with the mayor. I spoke with Jeff Bowman. He lost both of his legs in the bombings. Everyone remembers the iconic picture, Carlos Arredondo pushing Jeff in the wheelchair, trying to push him to safety. I spoke to Jeff. Obviously a tough day for him. He doesn't come back to Boylston Street very often. It's only been on the last couple of anniversaries that he's made the trip. So a really tough day for survivors. But Adrienne Hazlett, she was keeping a positive focus. You know, she talks about the fact that she's running the marathon. She's never been a runner, hadn't been a runner before. Mm-hmm. So there's a mixture of a tough day, but also looking forward.
Yeah, and Alex, let me ask you about that. You're a runner. You've been covering this race for 18 years or so. What are you thinking about as we mark this anniversary and look forward to Monday's marathon?
You know, it's really interesting because I knew the anniversary was coming, but today is the day when all the elite runners come into town. So it's the day we get a chance to talk to the top runners. Last year's winner, Lalisa Desiza of Ethiopia, was here. So I was focused on that, and then this morning, all the emotions of the day 3 years ago came back when I was on Boylston Street in front of Marathon Sports. So I think we try to not put this day behind us, but we mark it every year, which we will do, I think, forever. And then we go on to Monday's race.
All right. WBUR's Alex Ashlock reporting from City Hall Plaza. He'll be covering Monday's marathon. Alex, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Anthony.
Also commemorating the bombings today, former Governor Deval Patrick, who will address an interfaith service at Old South Church later this hour. Patrick, of course, was governor on that terrible day 3 years ago. Before the bombs went off, he had placed the laurel wreaths on the male and female marathon winners and was heading home to work in his garden. Then he got a call from his daughter, Catherine, who told him she was a block away from the finish line and had heard the explosions.
And, of course, I think like a lot of people, you wanted it to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as bad as it was, as destructive, as it was. You wanted it to be a manhole cover that had blown off, or you wanted it to be something other than a willful act of terror.
Yeah. So when you think back on that day, and maybe the days that followed, what stands out to you? I mean, here we are 3 years later. What do you recall? What's sort of the event that stands out?
I summarize them by thinking it was the stark contrast, you know, this extraordinary violence that drew us closer. The way the intention was to make us fearful, but in fact what it did was make us stronger, more of a community. I'm struck by how everybody discovered they were not more than 1 or 2 degrees separated from what happened. They knew somebody who was there, or they knew somebody who was there. They had been there themselves. But I think, you know, as I reflect on it, and I do from time to time, and I thought about this at the time, that it was as important to call out the acts of grace as it was the acts of heroism and bravery and utter professionalism, the things that ordinary people did.
For example, what are you thinking of when you say acts of grace?
I'm thinking of the way the residents along the route, once the race had stopped and there were runners exhausted and unaware of what had happened, would go out and get the runners and bring them into their homes, warm them up and give them water and explain what had happened, and then help them connect with family members and friends who were waiting down at the finish line. I'm thinking of people I met in the hospital in the day or two after who were finding ways to share their experience with others who were facing other kinds of tragedy and loss and recovery. There were just so many different acts of kindness that were a powerful part of our recovery at a time when we could easily have gone in a different direction and turned on each other rather than to each other.
You know, this brings up this great sort of theme that we spent a lot of time talking about 3 years ago and still think about it, and that is resiliency. You know, we've heard lots of stories of survivors who've come back in astonishing ways. Of course, lots of folks didn't come back and remain terribly scarred by it. What does that theme mean to you, sort of resiliency, and how resilient did this awful event prove Boston to be?
There are people who have bounced back. There are people who have appeared to bounce back and haven't. There are people who have not bounced back. And I think that the bouncing back may be sort of overrated, which is to say, if all that happens is that we go back to the way we were, then I don't think we will have gotten the best out of this tragedy that we could get out of this tragedy. I do think it is important for us to be out and enjoying our civic rituals, including the Boston Marathon, to be vigilant without being fearful and hunkering down. But I also think that one of the things that lasts and ought to last is that profound sense of community, that we have a stake in each other. And I think that that has been a key part of our healing in this city and region, and I think a key part of what it means to be resilient. Not that you forget or turn away from what happened, but that you interpret and absorb what happened and take what positive meaning you can from it.
You know, I was listening to my colleague this morning, Bruce Gellerman. He did a very moving piece with one of the Watertown police officers who was involved in the shootout, and really, arguably, one of the heroes of this terrible event. And this police officer told Bruce that he still has nightmares, that he's getting help, that he marches on. And it just, again, it brings me back to this idea of resilience, and I'm wondering about your own resilience. I mean, how did you cope with the magnitude of what happened, and are you still haunted by what happened and the decisions you had to make and the pressures you faced? I mean, this was stuff that you couldn't have been prepared for. I mean, there was no manual for this one.
I think, you know, there were a couple of things that helped. I remember after the week was over, I went out to the Berkshires by myself, where my family have a house. And I walked from the town of Richmond, where we lived, across Richmond Mountain to the town of Lenox with my dog. And the state police were very nice to let me do so, because they would rather I didn't do that sort of thing. It was just as beautiful by the weekend as it had been on Marathon Day, and that time alone was incredibly important. I also remember meeting a woman named Karen in the hospital a day or two after the bombing, and they, at that time, the doctors were working to save her leg, and ultimately she lost it. She was so cheerful and so focused. She knew, I think, Crystal Campbell, who was one of the victims lost, and she, Karen, was grateful to be alive, as tough as her own and serious as her own injuries were. And she reminded me that we had met, this is back to my point about just a couple of degrees of separation, I think the summer before. She had been waiting tables at Summer Shack off of Boylston. My family and I went in for lunch. She said, "I waited on you. I remember what you guys ate and who was there." I mean, just so easy. And it's the sort of experience that makes you feel like you should be thinking in fresh ways about your own way of coping with events. Anyhow, the summer after the bombing, I think it was the summer after the bombing, maybe in the fall, I was out in Chicago in my old hometown on the South Side at a ceremony at which the street I was born and raised on was renamed for me. And who should come rolling up in her wheelchair but Karen?
Oh, boy.
And she told me that when the president came through and met her in the hospital, he asked, "Is there anything you'd like?" And she said, "I'd love to go to a Cubs game one day." And he had organized that. And when they arrived and were in the hotel thinking about what to do before the game, she noticed that this ceremony was happening down on the South Side. And she came and she said, "You supported us. I wanted to support you."
Hmm. That's a nice story.
Yeah.
So last year, Jahar Tsarnaev was sentenced to death. This happened in a city and a state where there's broad opposition to the death penalty. Many people are concerned that because of the appeals process, this will drag out on and on and on, force people to relive. What's your feeling about the resolution, this part of the resolution of this case?
Well, you know, I don't believe in the death penalty. I've never supported the death penalty. I understand it. I believe that Jokar should die in prison. And given his age, that's a long time to sit and reflect in a very confined space on the horror he caused in the lives of so many.
You know, Governor, I want to just ask you very briefly about the interfaith ceremony. I was there, as a lot of people in Boston were. You were there. The president was there. Mayor Menino was there. And one of the things you said I found particularly moving, and I'm just going to read the quote. "Just as we cannot permit darkness and hate to triumph
over our spiritual faith, so we must not permit darkness and hate to triumph over our civic faith. That cannot happen, and it will not."
Sounds like you feel that we succeeded as a city on that. That's a pretty high bar that you set in that quote there.
Well, it was a high expectation and ambition I had and I have for our community. We're an unusual country in the sense that we're not organized the way countries usually are. It wasn't geography or religion or even culture that created this country. It was an experiment in civic values. And those civic values include freedom and fair play, opportunity, equality. And when the terrorists come at us, they are challenging us to turn away from those civic values. And the real triumph is whether we're going to bear allegiance to those civic values in the face of that terror. That's how we win. And I think in this case, we won.
Hmm. Last question. What do you want people to think about today as we prepare for the 120th running of the Boston Marathon on Monday, as they think about that and indeed remember what happened 3 years ago?
Well, I want people to think about community and what that really means, how we have a stake in each other's dreams and struggles, and that community, understood and experienced that way, helps us heal.
All right. Well, that's Deval Patrick. He's managing director at Bain Capital and the former governor of Massachusetts. Governor, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.